Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. This series is amazing. The cosmic conflict, a battle that started in heaven, now impacts planet Earth. It's really amazing to learn from the Word of God. And what I'm learning is how important the Word of God is. Today, motivated by hope, we're going to see that we have hope in this cosmic conflict by trusting in Jesus. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School. You can tell I'm a little excited. That's because Sabina's going to be teaching today. I'm always happy to have team teachers. It's an inspiration to all of us who are thinking, maybe I should start an interactive class. So glad you're teaching. Glad the team is here. Welcome to Hope Sabbath School. Amen. Good to have you with us. Got some great remote team members with us again today. Haiti, always good to have you with us. Glad you're here. Zaria, good to have you back with us. And Travis, as always, good to have you with us, Travis, for this incredible topic of motivated by hope. You know, I was thankful when I learned the title of today's study that we're called Hope Sabbath School, because hope is found in Jesus.
Amen.
We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. Pamela, thanks for writing from the beautiful island of Barbados. We'd all like to go and visit her there in Barbados. Hello, Hope Sabbath School family.
Hello.
But she added worldwide, so I hope you, around the world, you gave Pamela a wave. May we continue to study God's Word and keep our lives in His hands until He comes. Amen?
Amen.
Wow, that's beautiful, Pamela. Thanks for sharing. Yvonne writes to us on our YouTube channel. You know, one thing I appreciate about our YouTube channel, of course, you can watch on our website or you can watch on DirecTV if you're here in the U.S., Channel 368. But on the YouTube channel, you can leave comments. And many comments come in. This is from Yvonne. Thanks for leaving a comment, Yvonne. A friend of mine told me about Hope Sabbath School about 2 years ago, she writes. I've been a faithful participant ever since.
Amen.
And I've told others about Hope Sabbath School.
Wow.
Hope Sabbath School studies have provided deep and rich experiences for me.
Amen.
Lord, help us to grow in grace, she writes,
Amen.
And in a knowledge of your love so that we can walk worthy of the calling.
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful? Yvonne, thank you for taking the time to leave a note there on our YouTube channel. Well, here's a note from a donor in California. And you know we don't read names, but I do want to say thank you. The donor writes from California, says, I firmly believe that Jesus is coming very soon.
Amen.
That's kind of what we're talking about today.
That's right.
Prophecies are being fulfilled rapidly, and soon we will see our Savior.
Amen.
My donation is small, and so is my income. But God has always provided and blessed
Amen.
And multiplied the little that He loaned to me.
Amen.
And a donation of $500
wow.
to bless the ministry, the Global Evangelistic Media Ministry. Well, I want to tell you thank you. You know who you are because I just read your note. And thank you to each one of you for being part of this miracle. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopehasas. Click on the donate button, and many of you have done that, and you are part of the miracle of impacting the world for Christ. One last note from Claire, watching from Zambia. Claire writes, Zambia is not too far, attendee, from your home country of Botswana, right?
Yes.
Claire writes and says, I have been watching Hope Sabbath School for many years. And I like the scripture songs and the way the class contributes to make sure we understand the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
May God bless you and keep you. And Claire, we say to you, God bless you and keep you. And we need you to sing our theme song right after I remind you about that valuable resource that God has used. I remember a story when I was visiting Brazil. Someone left a copy of this book, The Great Controversy, on a table. And someone picked it up, and her life was changed just by reading it.
Wow.
So you can get a digital copy. Go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess. But something even more exciting It's available. Click on the free resource tab in more than 100 languages. If you've got a friend, maybe English isn't his first language or her first language, you can choose the language that will be accessible for them. As we're studying this series on the cosmic conflict, that resource will be extremely valuable for you. Right now, we're going to sing our theme song. And we need you to sing with us as we seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Let's sing together. It's a beautiful promise written 2,700 years ago. But Sabina, as we study about motivated by hope, I guess we do need to seek the Lord while there's still time.
Absolutely.
So why don't you lead us in prayer as we begin our study?
Amen. So shall we pray together as we seek the Lord? Dear Jesus, what a blessing it is for us as we stand here this day to seek you.
Amen.
To, you know, turn to the word that you left to us, your word, and find light to our path, to illuminate us and to help us to walk in a righteous path. And today, Lord Jesus, as we continue studying about this great conflict that is ongoing and that we know you are going to win for sure, I pray that you are going to illuminate our minds, our hearts with hope.
Amen.
I pray that you are going to help us to articulate well the ideas that you are going to impress in our hearts and minds. And also, in a special way, I pray a blessing for every single person who is going to watch this program in the future. Excellent. Once it's televised, that all of them will come also to experience the power that there is in your word.
Amen.
And the promise that you give us of hope. In your name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, it's so wonderful to be here, my friends. Amen. And, you know, one interesting thing you may not know about me is that previous to going and pursuing full-time ministry and becoming a pastor, I used to work in the, within the field of international relations. So inevitably, whenever I talk about conflict or a cosmic conflict, I need to make references to that background, especially my studies on peacekeeping or conflict resolution. And there is a lot of language in conflict that we also can find and employ in those fields. And in the context of wars, usually when you deal with uncertainty, when you don't know the outcome of a conflict, that's when you actually start negotiating. Okay, so there is things such as diplomacy, you may have heard, but there is also strategies such as sharing resources or creating buffer zones or doing all sorts of concessions that you're going to find a common ground with the enemy that you are trying to, you know, find peace with. What happens, however, is that the enemy that we have here in this cosmic conflict is not a worthy enemy. You know, if you try to, for instance, to create some sort of ceasefire agreement with him and put your guard down, that's the moment in which he's going to attack. If you try to negotiate some sort of humanitarian assistance with him, in fact, what he's going to do is to attack those who are the most frail instead of helping them. Okay? Or maybe if you want to talk to him about resource sharing, He is not going to take just a little bit of the resources. He's actually going to swipe it all out and not leave anything for you. The Bible says that he's like a lion looking to devour everything. So our God, in his infinite wisdom that he has, instead of leaving us with uncertainty of the outcome of this great conflict that we have at hand, he made sure, my friends, to give us from the beginning of the history that we have, that if you look even into Genesis, a resolution that he was going to win. And this means, you know what? That whenever we can consider potentially the need of negotiating with the enemy, that instead we need to turn to the truth that there is nothing to negotiate with him because he has nothing to offer. There is no resource that he can share with us. There is no way in which he can make our pains reduce. As opposed to what you see in a real life conflict, he's just going to bring more misery to us if we start negotiating with him. Okay, so I'm very happy that God not only told us about the end of all things and how they are going to happen, but he also gave us information about the process in this great cosmic conflict so that at every step through prophecy, we have the clarity that God is in control and that we don't need to negotiate with our enemy. Amen?
Amen.
And with that in mind, today we are going to be looking at one of the most important events in this cosmic conflict that can help us understand where are we headed towards in the resolution of the conflict, and it is the second coming of Jesus.
Amen.
The hope that we have in his second coming. Amen. And to look to those events, I would like to invite us together to turn to the book of John. Maybe Pedro, if you turn to us to the book of John, chapter 14, we are going to be looking at verses 1 to 3. And not only this particular passage in scriptures, but there is more than 300 times just in the New Testament in which the Bible makes reference to this special event,
Amen.
The second coming of Jesus. So let's look at one of them, Pedro, if you start us off, please.
Sure. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I will go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. There where I am, there you may be also.
Amen. Amen.
Wonderful. So we can also turn to another passage. Maybe Gladys, if you lead us into reading from the book of Titus, chapter 2. And we are going to read from verses 11 to 14. And in the meantime, I'm also going to ask maybe Travis, who is remotely participating with us. Hi, Travis. If you will prepare to read from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. So first we have Gladys with Titus. Gladys.
Okay, I'm reading from the New International Version, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good.
Thank you so much. So, Travis, from Hebrews.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Okay, so we have here already three special passages in scripture where we can see some, have some information about this big event that is about to happen, the second coming of Jesus, right? From John, we can see that he is going not only to come back, but he's going to come back to take us with him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we are not going to be left here for too long, it seems like, right?
Right.
So what else we can see here from Titus, for instance, we say that this coming or this returning of the Lord is not going to be something that just a few people are going to see or experience, right? It says that the appearing of him is going to be great, is going to be in glory. And that's even also something that we are going to see here in Hebrews, right? That he will appear a second time. Why is it important then for us to have this certainty of this glorious return of Jesus? Pedro.
Well, you see here that we've been in this conflict, right? And Jesus, before he left, he wanted to make assurance that even though we are still in this middle of this fight, he already won. And he's coming back to give us this, as the title says, this blessed hope. And his return will be a glorious return, and will be to be give us this blessing that we should always be waiting for. So knowing that God has already won, and that he's doing the work of salvation into the life of people in this world, we can look forward not with the battle, but on the transformation that God is bringing in our lives.
Amen. That's wonderful. So we don't need to live in fear. We can live with the hope that he is soon coming, not to have the eyes set on the conflict in itself and lost maybe in the fear that we would feel potentially, but we can look forward to something. Yes, Gladys.
We have been studying in the previous lesson about all these people that died and suffered and they went through so many tribulations. Then what will be the whole point of that if Jesus is not coming back? If this life is the end of it, their life will be, that will be miserable just to suffer here and then die and then that's it. So God gives us a hope that yes, through this conflict, a lot of people are going to suffer. A lot of us are going to go through difficult times, but there is something more to look forward to.
Amen. So not only this hope help us look to the future and not focus only on the conflict, but it also can provide us comfort. As we see the examples of many people who suffered because of the events that are, you know, part of this conflict, but that they also are going to take part in this event, this special event when Jesus is coming again in eternity, right?
Yes.
So I see also, Haiti, you have your hand up. So what do you have to share with us, Haiti?
Yeah, to think of this, when I saw this question, I had to think about the whole plan of salvation, how God had to, you know, transform from a divine form to a human form. And then he also had to live a life without sin. And then he had to give his life willingly as a sacrifice to atone for our sins and then resurrect. And he did all those things. And he sits on a throne at the right hand of God. But until the moment that he comes back and wipes away sin and takes away, like Gladys was saying, death and suffering and pain and disease, It you know, the plan of salvation is not complete until that moment. So that moment is everything to us. It is truly our great hope.
Amen. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Heidi. So also we can see not only that it provides for us comfort, but Pedro also mentioned it helps us to have a look towards eternity and having hope. But we also know that it is part of the plan of salvation. So God has already anticipated that this event was going to happen. It is not something that we should be, you know, afraid of, but instead knowing that it's part of God's plan for humanity. So I see also that Jason, you've been with your hand up for some time. Do you have something to share, Jason?
Yeah, I was just going to thank you so much. I was just going to add to the fact that, you know, the importance of it is that the restoration of our relationship with the Father and Son would be, you know, to a whole new Eden experience, you know. And so it's beautiful that we can look towards that, because Christ is going to bring that, you know, beautifulness that's going to be able to take place, and we'll be able to enjoy for eternity.
Amen. Praise God, right? So the second coming is not just about a resolution for the problems we have here on this earth, but it's much further to reconnect us with God, right, Jesus?
Amen.
Because God's desire It's not that we just overcome the world right now, but it's really that we spend eternity with him.
Amen.
That we
Amen.
May
Amen.
Reconnect with him. And that's Amen. Why, as you were sharing, even in Genesis back there, when we look at that moment, he was already providing for this victory to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not because God likes fighting and he just wants to be victorious in a fight, but it's because he has a plan from the beginning
right.
to reconnect us with him throughout eternity.
Amen.
So that we can live in a loving relationship
Amen.
With him and with each other. Amen.
Amen.
So
Amen.
That's what the second coming of Jesus is about.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God for that. So we are going to look now into some passages in Scripture that can give us a little bit more clarity of how those events are going to unfold. Mm. Okay, so first, I would like to ask maybe Travis, if you have the book of Matthew open, and we are going to be looking at chapter 24 from verses 27 to 31, Travis. So if you turn there to us, and in the meantime also, I'm going to have Joffrey, if you can have the book of Revelation open on chapter 1, and we are going to see verse 7 there, okay?
Okay.
So Travis, if you'll read to us Matthew.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I'll take first Joffrey, and we'll make some comments here about those two verses.
Yes, I'll also be reading from the New King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him.
Mm-hmm.
Even so, amen.
Amen. Amen. So what are here some things already we see Jesus is teaching. Mm-hmm. Yes, Puya.
I see that it's going to be visible, mm-hmm. every eye will see him, and it's going to be audible.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to come with the sound of the trumpets mm-hmm. with the angels. Mm-hmm. So okay. we'll be able to see his coming.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes, John.
Adding on to what Puya said, it's going to be an audible event, visible event, also a glorious event.
Amen.
Because in Matthew 24, it says Christ is going to come in all his glory.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, just to get a small glimpse of his glory is... It was too much for the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And just imagine for him to come in all his glory.
Mm.
That's going to be amazing.
Mm.
Beyond words to express.
Yes. Mm. Joffrey, also you have something that you noted.
Yes, and I want to add on to everything is that, well, when you have a victory, when a sports team wins, mm-hmm. do they whimper or, you know, stay silent? No, it's a victory. It's
right.
You have won. And that's what Christ is. And angels are rejoicing and he's rejoicing and coming to take home.
Mm.
And we too will rejoice. And that's the beauty of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So we are seeing here that there is this anticipation for a big event mm-hmm. that everyone is going to be able to see God in his glory. And I see Pedro also have his hand up.
One thing that I notice here is that there's also not only is a blessed hope, but also a time of mourning. There will people not be happy
mm-hmm.
with his second
mm-hmm.
coming. Mm-hmm. So there will be those that oppose him.
Mm.
That we'll see the glory of his coming and their reactions and obviously the judgment upon them.
Right, this is well noted. So there is something that is happening with the second coming of Jesus that may also bring mourning to some, right?
Mm.
So we are understanding that he will come victorious, that he is going to be seen in his glory,
mm-hmm.
but there is also some mourning associating with this. Right.
Mm.
Maybe Pastor Derek.
Sabine, what I think it's alluded to that the angels will gather all of the elect. Mm-hmm. But we know from the passage that we're going to read, and also from Jesus in John chapter 6, mm-hmm. that there'll be a resurrection when he comes in glory mm-hmm. of the righteous.
Right.
And so when it says, back to what Gladys was saying earlier, what happens to all those faithful mm-hmm. followers of God, many of whom were martyred yeah. through those dark ages, yeah. the answer is they're not going to miss out on this no. glorious return.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, praise God.
They're going to be gathered by the angels, the elect, gathered mm-hmm. To be with the Lord. I just think that's so encouraging.
Yeah. It mm-hmm. is. It is. Mm-hmm. And I think that we can further learn about this this part of the event if mm-hmm. we turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Mm-hmm. So there Paul is also teaching us something about the event that is going to give her further clarity of what Pastor Derek just has shared, okay? Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm going to have Zaria, if you can hear me there. Zaria, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Would you please read that for us?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, verses 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Mm-hmm. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Mm-hmm. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpets of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
Amen.
It's wonderful. So I think there is a number of things we learn here from this message from the Apostle Paul. Mm-hmm. But is this something that you'd like to share that caught your eye? Yes.
Well, I have a friend who lost her husband in Afghanistan. They had two little boys. Mm. And I went over with my Bible. I wanted to comfort her. And she was telling me that, you know, if she knows her husband, he's up there arguing with Jesus to let him come back down because they are suffering so much. Mm-hmm. The little children and her, and all they want is to be with him. So I read her this text, and it was kind of illuminating to her because she's, wait a minute. So, and then I explained that he's actually resting. He's asleep. Mm-hmm. He's resting till the second coming of Jesus. And so you don't have to worry that he's up there watching you suffer. He is resting. Mm-hmm. And we await for the coming of Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
And I think it's really important, Sabina. Someone might say, well, that's just Paul's opinion. Mm. But as we heard Zaria reading, it said that he received by the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Jesus, in special revelation, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. said to Paul, this is how it will be.
Mm-hmm.
And so he speaks with kind of a forceful clarity mm-hmm. because Jesus himself has revealed to him mm-hmm. what's going to happen.
Amen. Amen. So it seems like Paul, inspired, impressed by the Holy Spirit, he desired that we are prepared for that, for this event, so that Amen. We can live in hope, as we've been sharing, but also that we can share hope with others, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We just heard here of an example of someone that didn't have clarity about those events, and this mm-hmm. person cannot enjoy that same hope. So it mm-hmm. is an opportunity also that we get to share that hope. Tandy, I see you had your hand up.
Thank mm-hmm. you, Sabina. Recently, I lost work colleagues here at the General Conference, and this verse, the Holy Spirit revealed it to me in a way that gave me hope and mm-hmm. comfort. Instead of mourning as those who don't have hope, mm-hmm. I am excited to read that when Christ comes again, the dead in Christ will rise first, mm-hmm. and he shall descend with a shout. You know, it's going to be not only a glorious event, but I'll get to see them, those that are sleeping mm-hmm. in the Lord. And it just, it gave me hope. Mm-hmm. It comforted me. And I also now use it to comfort other people yeah. who've lost their loved ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah. Right, beautiful. Thank you so much. We are going to continue reading a little bit more about this event on the book of Acts. And that's Acts chapter 1 from verses 9 to 11. And maybe Jason, are you there already? Yeah. If you would like to read that for us. The book of Acts 1, 9 to 11.
It'd be my pleasure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And the Word of God says, "Now, when he had spoken these words, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'"
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is the confirmation that we are having here from these two angels? Yes, Pedro.
I see here that Jesus is the same form. Now, if he was in a physical form, he went up. He also is going to come down mm-hmm. in like manner. Obviously, I see the aspect of like manner. He's not going to be there in the same place that he was, mm-hmm. but I think the emphasis on the physical form of Christ, he came in the flesh and is coming back in the flesh to take us home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So we see that it's going to be visible, that he's going to be seen also in a bodily form, whatever is this glorified body that he has. And then we've learned from the previous passage in 1 Thessalonians mm-hmm. that the dead will rise first, but then who else is going to meet Jesus in the air?
Those that are alive.
Living saints.
Yeah. The living saints. So yeah. this is something to anticipate and look forward to. Amen?
Amen.
So we are going also to look a little further here on the book of Matthew. And maybe if Puya could take us there, Puya. We are going to read from Matthew chapter 24. And we are going to be looking into verses 23 to 27, thinking why is it is important for us to understand how is it that Christ is going to return to the earth, right? Mm. Puya, go ahead.
Sure, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Mm. See, mm. I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out. Or, 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be."
Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So is there a new element here? What is it that you see? Why is it that it's important then for us to understand how is it that this return? Yes, Puya.
So we see that Jesus is very concerned that even the elect could be deceived mm-hmm. in the last days. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So understanding the nature of the second coming of Christ can prevent the followers of Jesus from deception. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. If you don't understand the scripture and how he's going to come, people could easily deceive you and say, "Oh, there's Jesus over yeah. there," or yeah. "Here he is coming." Or even the idea that you might have a second chance even after Jesus come again, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. the scripture clearly teaches that when Jesus comes, that's the end. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. as we were saying the scripture song earlier, seek the Lord now while he mm-hmm. can be found before the coming of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for this passage here, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, Gladys.
Yes, throughout my short years of life in this earth, I have seen many times where mm-hmm. the news have said that Jesus has come, and mm-hmm. and many times, yes. even my friends that have mm-hmm. gone to church, that go to church, they have said to me, "Hey, let's go to Brazil, let's go to mm-hmm. you know whatever city it is that mm-hmm. Jesus is there," and that, like Puya was saying, that's why Jesus was very specific, mm-hmm. so we will not be deceived. Yeah. So if we study the Word and seek the Lord now and mm-hmm. the understanding of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. then we will not be deceived.
Amen. So it is desirable to learn about those events, right? Yes. It's not something that we should be oblivious about, that we should be ignorant about, that those events, they are something we should be understanding with clarity so that we are not going to be deceived, right? Even the elect. Yes, John.
You know, there are some false understandings such as the secret rapture, and some believe that Christ's coming will be a more spiritual coming than a literal second coming.
Right.
And so understanding what the Bible has to say about these things will save us from a lot of deceptions that are going around, unfortunately.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so I also see Zaria's hand up. I'll take her comment and then we need to move on. Okay, Zaria.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to note that it says, but at the day and hour no one knows. So we don't know the day nor the hour that Jesus is going to come back. So we have to keep that in reminding of everything and just be prepared at all times because he'll come at the least expected moment.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, and even though we don't know this day and hour, the Bible does give us then an indication of how important it is that we pursue to understand those events and also even to look forward for them. And there is nothing wrong about studying the prophecies in Scripture that point to those events. Amen.
Yes. Right.
And we should and we long to know the day and hour when Jesus is going to come. So we are going to be now turning to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, from verses 29 to 33. And I'm going to have Geoffrey, if you could take us there. And as Geoffrey read that, after he reads, I would like us to be considering, so according to Jesus, what are then some things that we can know about the time and the hour of his return? Amen, Geoffrey.
Okay, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, verses 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know the summer is near. So you will also, when you see all these signs, know that it is near at the doors.
Okay, my friends, so maybe Travis, as you look to this passage, and I know you're a person who really enjoys prophecy, and I'm sure you like this passage as well. What is something that you find here that can teach you about the time of Jesus' return?
Well, I think all through the Bible, and even especially here, that we're giving signs. You know, the Bible also talks about Jesus coming as a thief, but he doesn't come as a thief to those who are waiting for him.
Amen.
He gives us benchmarks along the way. One of the verses we read earlier, immediately it says, after the tribulation, these things are going to happen and I will return. Jesus gives us signs along the way. I think he gives us these signs. One, prophecy is given so that we will trust him, but also so that it's reiterated to us, especially to those who believe over and over, that his coming is just around the corner. I mean, Jesus is coming very, very soon, and he wants everybody to be ready.
Amen. 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 So what else can we know about the time of his return? Is there something else? Yes. Go ahead.
Nancy.
Nancy.
Yes. So it mentions very specific things that happened. The sun darkened, which if you Google it, you'll find it happened May 19 of 1780, and the stars falling November 12 and 13 of 1833. So there are certain things that we can actually, they are benchmarks, and actually the falling of the stars was the last thing that's mentioned. And then, you know, so we're on borrowed time right now. I mean, the Bible says he's coming soon, but really he's
very, very soon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Derek.
Actually, the whole chapter 24 is science. Right. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilences. Yes. You go, wow, that sounds like now. Yeah. Earthquakes. Mm-hmm. The greatest sign is this rapid transmission of the gospel, mm-hmm. that the gospel will be preached mm-hmm. as a witness. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that through the power of global media, mm-hmm. right. that the gospel is going to go to the whole world, but also false Christs and false prophets. There yes. are going to be mm-hmm. false teachers who are saying peace and safety, everything's fine, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. as I think John mentioned, well, Jesus isn't coming literally, he just comes into our hearts mm-hmm. when we accept him, and you're like, that's not what Jesus said.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think all of those signs, read the whole chapter, clearly point to the certainty of his return. The big challenge, though, and you pointed it out earlier, is we want to nail down a specific date. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know in church history, you know, we dealt with that. Mm-hmm. In fact, where some people said, we think we've got the date, and it's happened many times, but right. I'm thinking particularly of William Miller mm-hmm. and the Millerite movement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think they got something right. And that mm-hmm. is that he is coming back.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
But I really appreciated what Zaria said when she said, we need to be ready every day.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because yes. that is the way to be ready on that day.
Mm-hmm. Amen, yes. Mm-hmm. So we are seeing here from Scripture then that we cannot quite well know the day, but there some things are going to be happening, like wars and rumors of wars, that we can learn from those events that there is a time approaching, mm-hmm. right? But very specifically about the exact time and date, for we to learn more about that, I would like us to turn to the book of Matthew. Mm-hmm. And we are going to read from verses 36 to 42. And maybe Tandy, if you will read that for us.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, verses 36 to 42. But of that day, an hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Mm-hmm. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay, thank you so much. So we are already very clear then from this very first verse that Tandy read for us that no one knows about the day and the hour. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm. Even though it is desirable for us to pursue knowledge about it, no one really knows about it. And we are going to turn now a little bit to the story of William Miller. Just like Derek was bringing up here, there is godly people who, just like us, they have desire to see the return of Jesus, and they have dedicated themselves to study Scripture closely and to learn more about these events. Yes.
Just before we do that, I think what Tandy read was so important, and yes. people misunderstand one take and the other left, that is like a second chance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you read the parallel in Luke 17, he says, where, Lord? And he says, where the dead body is, the eagles will fly. Mm-hmm. In other words, mm-hmm. when Christ comes, those who are left mm-hmm. are dead, mm-hmm. destroyed by the brightness of his coming. Mm-hmm. The righteous risen from the grave and the righteous living caught up to meet the Lord. Mm-hmm. So let's not think, well, I'll wait till Jesus comes and, right. and then I'll have another chance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because those who are left,
right.
they're destroyed by the brightness of his coming.
Yes, yes, that's an excellent point. Thank you so much, Derek, for bringing that up, because indeed some people have read this passage and thought otherwise, right? That there would be a second chance or something along those lines. And we have here now to be looking then into the story of William Miller, as you were sharing. Like, this is a person that has been very prominent even in the walk and the history of the Adventist Church. And I wonder if some of you or anyone has something that you'd like to share. Who was William Miller, and what was the conviction that he had specifically from the study of Bible prophecy? Yes, Puya.
So William Miller lived in the late 1700s and early 1800s. He previously was a deist, and he, according to history, he fought in the War of 1812 on the side of the Americans, and he later came to believe that there must be a God for the reason that he survived the war, and that led him to the decision to study the scripture. He looked at the scripture, comparing scripture with scripture, until he came to the book of Daniel, and he began to study the prophecies of Daniel, which led him to conclude that maybe there was a date that he could find, or at least approximate year, when Jesus would return to earth. So that's the beginning part of his story in a nutshell. But of course, later, according to the history, we know that they were greatly disappointed because Jesus did not return in the time and date that they expected.
And Pedro, you had something to share also about it.
Well, the interesting thing here is that he was studying, he's searching the scripture, and he was convicted by this message, but he was concerned about sharing it. And he felt that God put it in his heart to share the soon coming of Jesus. One interesting thing I learned about his history is that he was hesitant on setting a day because he knew those verses. But the more they study the prophecy of Daniel 8, the more he felt convicted about it. And obviously, when we look into that prophecy, he made a misjudge of what would be in the cleansing of the sanctuary. He thought that the cleansing would be the earth. And he later discovered, obviously, through studies of scripture, that the sanctuary referring here was not earth, but actually a heavenly sanctuary where God dwells. And that was the work of God's blessing. And when the misunderstood happening, they came back to the Bible and continued to study scripture.
And where in Bible prophecy did William Miller particularly have those finds? Where is it that he discovered some of those very significant events, Pedro, that you are mentioning? Maybe if, Jason, if you turn to Daniel, chapter 8, verse 14.
Oh, yes. All right, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And he said to me, for 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed.
Okay, so what is it then that we can, how is it that he came to this conclusion that Pedro was sharing just from reading this particular verse? Yes, John.
William Miller understood the earth as a sanctuary. He looked at all the sanctuaries. There's a heavenly sanctuary during the time of Moses. And so he also came to the conclusion that the sanctuary is the earth. And so if it has to be cleansed, it has to be cleansed by fire. And so there was a time element attached to this prophecy, and so he calculated that and came to the conclusion that Christ was to come. Initially, he came to the conclusion that he would come in the spring of 1843. Later on, with further study, they understood that it was going to be in the fall of 1844.
And you know, he was right about Jesus is coming back, but he was mistaken. But where did he come up with that date? And the answer is right after that in chapter 9 of Daniel.
Exactly.
It specifically tells us when that 2,300-year prophecy would begin.
Exactly, yes.
Right? So 457 B.C., and he did the math, and he said something is going to happen, the cleansing of the sanctuary, about the year 1843, 1844. What we'll later discover is it was something in heaven, not on earth. What I really like, though, Sabina, about William Miller, after that terrible disappointment, was the fact that he said, I've set my mind on another time. You go, oh, no, he's going to set another date. No, he said, today, today until he comes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that comes back to what Zaria said earlier. Didn't Jesus say in that same chapter 24, be also ready?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right.
For in such an hour as you think not.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So his coming is real. There's a whole nother topic of the 2,300 years and the cleansing of the sanctuary and what Christ is doing mm-hmm. in the heavenly sanctuary right now.
Right.
But the Millerites were clear and correct about one thing. There will be a literal, glorious return of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And that's the message we need to share, because even today, people are setting dates. Mm-hmm. And they're saying he's going to come here. Some said the year 2000. Some said the year 2015. And mm-hmm. right. the answer is, I think that can be a deception of the devil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because Jesus wants us to say, I want to be ready today mm-hmm. by trusting Jesus fully.
Amen.
Today.
Amen. Praise Amen. God. Praise Jesus. So yes, indeed, William Miller, as he was serving scriptures, following the principles of, you know, prophetic interpretation, he came to the conclusion that Jesus, there was a time actually in a specific time frame, actually not a particular day at first, mm-hmm. in which Jesus was going to come back. And what happened, as Pastor Derek just named here, there was a great disappointment
yes.
because differently than what they expected, Jesus didn't really come as they anticipated. Mm-hmm. And some other events actually took place that they eventually interpreted and were led to further illumination about what this prophecy was actually meaning. Mm-hmm. But still, there were some outcomes of their desire to pursue. Even if they were somewhat mistaken, mm-hmm. God still could use this for furthering his kingdom. Mm-hmm. Yes, Puya. Mm-hmm.
To just pick up on your point there, if yeah. we look at the scripture, it's interesting to see that right after disappointments, yeah. God seems to be able to come to the hearts more, because we're more open to find out where did we get wrong,
yeah.
right? In the same way that the disciples and the Jewish nation expected the first coming of the Messiah, mm-hmm. where they expected the Messiah to come as a king mm-hmm. and conquer the Romans and elevate the Jewish nation. Mm-hmm. And they were mistaken, because Jesus came as a humble, mm-hmm. Common person. Mm-hmm. And when he was crucified, they were greatly disappointed. Mm-hmm. But out of that disappointment came restudying of the scripture, where they finally understood the nature of the first coming. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the same way, William Miller and his followers were disappointed mm-hmm. at that point. But out of that disappointment came a zeal to actually go back to the Word and study more.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes. So what would you say were the results of his preaching? Puya has shared here that one of them is that there was a return to scripture, right? So, Pedro, you also had your hand up.
Well, mm-hmm. you see the aspect of the proclamation that mm-hmm. Jesus is coming and be ready today. Mm-hmm. You know, God doesn't want us to procrastinate or try to live in fear or of what's to come. He wants mm-hmm. to be ready today, and you should not be moved. Mm-hmm. And that's the blessing of being in presence with God today and proclaim the message, be about his business, proclaiming his message that he's mm-hmm. coming, because that's the blessed hope that mm-hmm. I was looking for.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So guided by the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. just like Puya was saying, they return further to scripture. So the disappointment led them to further study the Bible. Mm-hmm. And also, as Pedro was saying, to desire to further proclamate about the truth of scriptures, not only about the second coming of Jesus, but to pursue more about Jesus. Yes, Jason.
Yeah, this is very practical as well, because sometimes we might go into the scriptures and may think we know something, but don't. Mm-hmm. And this is for not us to get, discouraged, but to go back to the scriptures like the Bereans and basically mm-hmm. search them out to see those things are true.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes, I see Haiti, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I was going to say, even if we could predict a day, in this sinful world, today is the only thing we have guaranteed. Tomorrow mm-hmm. is not guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen to us, and we could lose our lives mm-hmm. in a moment. So today, if you hear his voice, like it says in the scripture, harden not your heart.
That's right.
Be ready today.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 Amen. So even though there was a mistake about the particular date, was William Miller really mistaken about the certainty of Jesus' return in glory.
No, he wasn't.
Right? He wasn't at all. In fact, he was just turning us, our hearts, to look further about it. And so, but rather than trying to pinpoint a date for his return, what lesson then should we be learning about what we have studied of his story here? Yes, I see your hand up.
Yeah, I wanted to say that a result of William Miller preaching is that there was a huge revival. Not only here in the United States, there were other people who had come to the same conclusion from studying the books of Daniel and Revelation. And so hundreds and hundreds of people of many different religious persuasions came. And then that, as someone mentioned, that prepared their hearts to learn more about Jesus.
Yeah, so as we come here to the close of this study, Gladys, what are some of the changes that you have a conviction in your heart that God is calling in your life as you anticipate his second coming?
Well, John 17, 3 says that this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. So what God has been convicting me is to get to know him more through the study of his word. And not only to that, this year he convicted me to get to not only read it for myself, but to get it to somebody else. So just praying to God every day to show me who should I share this with, because Jesus is coming.
Amen.
And very soon.
Amen, Gladys. Thank you so much. And you know, my friends, I myself, I'm the type of person that when I'm reading a book or watching a movie, I don't want to have any spoilers. I mean by that saying that I don't want nobody to tell me what is going to happen next. You know, that's usually something that makes me lose the interest in the timeline of the story, or maybe think it's less exciting. And I personally actually have a friend that she actually likes to know how the story is going to end before the end of the book, just because she senses that this reduces her anxiety. And especially on regards to those final events in history, I'm actually thankful that God gave us this big spoiler, because we don't need to live in anxiety. We don't need to live with ups and downs in emotion to know whether God is going to return or not to save us from this great conflict. We can rest in living the hope of a God that has anticipated to us this victory. Amen.
Amen.
So I pray that you go and you all go home with the certainty that Jesus, he is going to win for us this victory. And that's the hope we should walk with. Amen.
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 Thank you so much, Sabina.
Yes.
And thank you so much for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. Yes, it's a wonderful, blessed hope that Jesus is coming again. And he wants us to be ready today by trusting him fully as our Savior. Father in heaven, we want to just say thank you for the study today, and we want to trust your saving love revealed so fully through your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit to guide us on that journey, that we may welcome Jesus with joy when he returns. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. Stay with us. Jesus, your Savior, is with you. Go out and be a blessing to those around you.